This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by NHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Kyle Robinson Memorial Foundation, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, and Walsh Valuation.
Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday.
Hey there, welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you here at the MHA Studios. This one's very close to home because I got family here with me. This is so lovely, and I'm so happy to have them in here today talking about such amazing causes. They're the owners and operators of Compassion Veterinary Center and Stone Cottage Veterinary Hospital, proud partners of the Center for Prevention of Child Abuse, and also the 2026 recipients of the Champions Against Child Abuse Award. That was a really cool award ceremony. Again, thank you for inviting me, guys. That was lovely. And then, of course, Megan here is on the board of directors for the CPCA. Nick takes care of Peace, their service dog at the CPCA. We have so much for us to get into here. So with us, we have Megan Spaccarelli and Dr. Nick Spaccarelli. Guys, how are you?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Not like we haven't been talking for the last half hour.
That's okay.
Yeah, guys, it's so good to have you all in the studio. Yeah. This is cool. Not every day I get to have family in, so this is nice.
Oh, it's really special for us, too. Thank you.
Yeah, when you mentioned it at the gala, it was just like, that was exciting, you know, because we've never been on a podcast before. So just to like have that, you know, aspect and then, you know, talk about the CPCA and, you know, what we're doing. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You have a beautiful space here.
Oh, it's so good. Thank you, MHA. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you. Yeah, I had you on the radio station, but I haven't had you for Walsh Wednesday yet. And I haven't interviewed you at all.
No, this is the first for me.
First time. So guys, this is really exciting. Let's talk about the inciting incident that got us here today. The award, the Champions Against Child Abuse Award recipients. You guys got that for 2026 for the work that you've been doing with them. It was such a beautiful time. It was there right on the Hudson, of course. The award ceremony was lovely. Had a lot of friends and family there. What an amazing time. What did that mean to you to get that award and to be able to be stewards of the CPCA?
Yeah, I mean, it's humbling. I mean, we both kind of said it in our speeches as well, too. You know, I said it, there's a little bit of like an imposter syndrome, right? Because when you look at that organization, when we first got started with them and continuing, there's so many amazing people, you know, people that are doing all sorts of great things in the community, within the organization. And, you know, we made a commitment years ago that we wanted to get involved with an organization that had an impact in our home, right? Our Hudson Valley. And so, you know, just being there was very humbling and, you know, it was really nice. But I think that it doesn't stop there. It was really nice to be recognized, but you know, there's, and Megan does so much work behind the scenes, really. And I don't say that lightly. You know, there's just so much that happens before that gala and even right after the gala. They do such an amazing job with the gala, and it's so clean and professional, but there's so much work that goes into it. And then as soon as that stops, it's almost like, all right, let's get ready for
the next event. They have the golf tournament, they have the 5K, and then Paws and Pours. So all year long, there's different fundraising activities that are happening, that there's always work going on behind the scenes getting ready for each one of these events.
Yeah. The 5K is before Paws and Pours? I thought there was a 5K after it, or is there both?
It's right before.
It's right before.
A week or two before, yeah.
Okay. My mind's all screwed up. I thought it was after. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, those events are very close together. And I think, when is the golf tournament?
And that's in August at some point.
So it's like August, September, and then everything happens within, you know, 2 months there.
Yeah. And, you know, besides, you know, we first got involved when Nick started taking care of Peace, but our next involvement was really just participating in the fundraising events that the CPCA was doing. And then over time, our involvement grew and I joined one of the fundraising committees so that I could help plan these things. And of course, we started our own event, which we host for them, Paws and Pours for Prevention, which we do at Nick's Family's Winery.
Yeah. And that was hatched actually at the gala one night. We were there.
Really?
Yeah, we were there and we had a small table with people that, you know, we cared about, you know, people that we work with and family. And, you know, one thing went to another and we're having these conversations. And at the gala, we kind of mentally committed. We're like, we need to do something for this committee, right? Or this organization, I should say. And that's where that whole idea hatched. And it's really, you know, Megan, and we have one of our hospital administrators. Her name is Francesca Saracesi, and her and Chessie have really just a kind of spearhead.
It's really, it's our baby. And yeah. I mean, this is our year three. You know, the first year we did not know what we were doing. Neither one of us had a background in event planning or fundraising. Yeah. And we had just gone to events and thought we could mimic what they did. And we learned a ton, made changes to try to improve year two. We were extremely successful last year with our fundraising efforts. And the day of event was amazing. Thank you for emceeing for us and keeping us all on track and engaged. It was wonderful having you there.
I had so much fun. Oh my God. With Brother Dave too.
Oh my God.
So good.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Brother Dave, Declan, good folks over there. I've had Declan on the show. I haven't had Dave on the show yet. We need to get Dave.
Yeah, he's probably a good guest.
He's going to be getting an email after this.
he is. It was like, well, he's still working over at iHeart, so he's still doing good over there. But yeah, no need to get him on. But fantastic. It was such a fun time.
You know, we've had nothing but great people get on board with, you know, with the fundraiser itself. Mm-hmm. And every year it seems like, you know, we get another ally, so to speak, who's just excited about it just as much as we are. And I think that's what's been exciting about the whole process is that every year we get another layer that gets added onto it. And of course, that helps the organization, that helps the CPCA, right? Getting the word out and what, you know, what they do and what they can accomplish there and what they're doing in the community. So every person that joins is an amplifier, right? It's another voice that gets that word out and gets that message out.
So and I think it's important that we recognize that anybody can make an impact for this organization or other organizations that are meaningful to them in the area. You don't have to, we're a perfect example. You don't have to be an expert at fundraising, an expert at event planning. Like, you can dip your toe in and get involved in a little way. In any way you're volunteering your time or your efforts makes such a huge impact. And I feel like sometimes it seems daunting for people to get involved, even when they have, they recognize the benefits that it could do. There's that hesitation because, like, the imposter syndrome, who am I to help? I can't really give anything. And that's not true. Any person with their unique background and connections and time can play a huge role. And that's essentially how we started, just getting involved in a little way. And then over years, learning from the people we surrounded ourselves with and getting involved more and more. And hopefully through events like Pause and Pours or inviting people to the gala that we were honored at will spark that same interest in others to get on board with us and help us in the ways that they can to support this organization.
And it's important too, because, you know, like any organization, you know, people, it comes in waves, right? People come into the organization, leave the organization. That's the natural flow of any business.
Yep.
And I think an organization like that, it does need strong leadership and it needs strong ties and strong bonds. And so it's this constant, you know, evolving organism almost, right? And that's why it's really important for younger generations to get involved too, because I mean, there's so many senior advisors, right? People that have just had years and years of experience in the business world and fundraising and grant writing and nonprofits. And so it is good to get as many people involved just so, because you never know what's going to work out. Our situation started with CJ, Thomas Kove, coming to us and asking if we wouldn't mind help fundraising for Peace at the time. And, you know, my question to CJ was, well, you know, what are you fundraising for? And, you know, and that led us to be, you know, we became the chief veterinary officer for Peace. And then that led us to be invited to the gala. And then we came up with this idea for fundraising. Then Megan's on the board. It's just like a perfect example of
the domino effect.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think that, you know, that can't be overstated enough, right? That's very important. So I think, and you know, here's a perfect example too, right? Is that this is just another conduit to let people know what's happening there and what they can do. And I was on the treadmill this morning and I was listening to, I love Simon Sinek.
Right? Oh yeah, love him.
Motivational speaker. And he just happened to be—
Leaders eat last.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he was actually having a conversation with Trevor Noah.
So good.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because, you know, Trevor's well known. He's well known for his comedy, obviously. So he brings that lightness to the stage. But they were talking about kindness and how kindness is so different from generosity, because generosity is usually, you know, you're donating money, right? There's usually, it's associated with like a money thing, but being kind or an act of kindness, it revolves around the fact that you're giving up your time and you're giving up a piece of you, which is more valuable than anything. Yeah. And Megan had just mentioned it before. Those little bits of kindness, right? The volunteering, getting involved, showing up to these fundraisers, that's what really helps drive an organization like that. And obviously the work that they do is so impactful. in the community. And so, you know, it's just a cumulative effect, right? You like these little acts of kindness, everybody chipping in makes a massive difference. And I think that's one of the things that we love to talk about, because, and I think that's why getting that award was a little weird, because we're really average people, right?
But, and we don't do anything alone. We are fortunate to have an amazing supportive family. Mm-hmm. We have great two funny. Amazing teams at Compassion and Stone Cottage. And so many members of that team have outside of work volunteered their time to help us with the Paws and Pours. Many of them were there with us the night of the gala. We've have almost, I don't know, a big chunk of our teams have participated in the 5K as like a company team with really us that they did these things out of the kindness of their heart. They gave up their time, not just financially donating, but giving of themselves either to run or to get sponsors for our event or whatever it may be, and getting to work with them. I mean, we're very fortunate to work with them all day at the veterinary practices, but getting to do this with them on the side was even more special to us. Yeah. And I feel like getting to, that's why it was weird getting the award, in the sense that it's not just, we didn't just do this on our own. We only did it with the support of our community. And we want to share that honor essentially with the community that helps us do it, including our three little girls who we have making bracelets all summer long to sell at our event. They've raised over $1,000 last year.
Are
for
you
the
serious?
Yes, selling their bracelets. They sit at that table all day long, switch out to go to the bathroom or eat or snack. Yeah. And they put their time in, and for three little girls, that's significant donation. Yeah. So we're very proud of them. So we pull everyone into
things. Yeah.
They're hustlers too. You got to see them selling these bracelets.
Oh, no, they hustled me out of a few. And it was like, trust me, I was going to buy some anyway, but I probably got more than I was initially planning. Oh my God.
You know what's interesting too is that, you know, we've seen people wear them at the gala.
And, you know, I should have worn mine today. Yeah. I see them wear them all the time.
Yeah, but it's cool that other people are like, it's not just like, oh, let me throw these kids some money.
Yes.
No, I mean, you know, the bracelets that they put together are really quality bracelets. I think they spend a lot of time. Megan oversees a lot of it as well, too. And so they're fashionable. Like it's something you can wear over and over again.
We started this idea during the Taylor Swift era, where that was the friendship bracelets and how they would exchange them when she would be on stage and such. So it was during that phase that I don't know, me and the girls kind of brainstormed and decided to do this for a purpose. And they're ambitious. Every year they set their quota even higher. and every so far, whatever they said they would make, they always make a little extra. Wow. And whatever their monetary goal was for fundraising, they've hit or exceeded. Hopefully the same will be true for this year.
They're going to need to counsel me on how I can get more money in my business. No, I'll need to sit down. I'm going to have to sit down with them and learn more of their ways. Oh my God, they are industrious and it's fantastic. I'm assuming it's a Swiftie household then, if you guys were doing that.
Oh yes, we were very big into Taylor Swift. Yeah. We still love her. We've moved into the Benson Boone era.
Are they trying to flip off the couch currently?
Not yet.
Thank goodness. We are going to see him.
To build a piano so they can do it off.
I was going to say, we are going to see him when he's playing in Brooklyn. And once they see his performance, then I might be a little concerned that they want to incorporate fireworks and flipping and, you know, their play. Hopefully not.
Oh, geez. Yeah. And let's keep it tame and child friendly and safe.
Yeah.
Have to child proof it all.
Yeah. We're doing our best.
Oh, my God. But that's great, though. And yeah, I still have my bracelets from the event. I should have worn them.
We all
should have worn them. What's wrong with us? But it's all good. But they are good and they're high quality. And it's also a conversation starter, too.
Yeah.
Like when somebody sees one of them, it's like, oh, that's a really nice bracelet. Where'd you get that from? Or if they notice, like, I think mine actually said CPCA on it. So it's like, oh, what's that say on it? And, you know, it just gets the conversation going.
They all either said CPCA or peace, because the event actually, when we originally started it, was to honor peace and the role peace plays for the center, for these families in times of crisis. And obviously, he was also our link and draw in. So it kind of just like felt harmonious to do it in honor of him.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about peace for a moment. It was funny when we had our interview back at the radio station. Yeah. That was the first time I ever interviewed a dog. So that was nice. But let's talk about the role that peace has in the CPCA and what
a service dog does in that regard. I feel like I've been doing a lot of like service animal episodes recently. I just had Brittany Ettinger talk about similar
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, I saw that.
So yeah, we're kind of all over the place. So we're kind of continuing on that conversation. But yeah, talk to me about PEACE, what PEACE is doing for the children in CDCA. Yeah.
So I think first of all, I think most of us can agree that, you know, animals in general bring so much joy to our lives. You know, there's this level of unconditional love that animals provide.
And comfort, yeah. I mean, therapeutic aspects also, like they say how petting an animal can, you know, reduce your blood pressure and how it, you know, it calms you. And that's like PEACE's presence in the center is doing that for the families and the children that are going through, whether it is a, you know, low stress interaction or the most stressful urgent of interactions where it's like a true time of crisis and they, you know, have just been brought in and have to go through the interviewing process and divulging their story is an extremely difficult thing for anybody to do who has been a victim. Imagine how much harder that must be on a child.
Yeah.
So just PEACE's presence in that environment as a support, as a comfort to help them in disclosing their information. PEACE also has all these, sorry, I don't have them all memorized, but he's got quite the credential list himself. That he can go into the courtrooms and accompany a child. So when they have to give their witness statement, if you will, to a judge, what an intimidating environment to go into, even as an adult, but especially as a kid. Fact that PEACE is an animal that they've connected with, that they bonded with, can be right there by their side to give them comfort have to say this difficult thing is
often
huge.
A voice, literally a voice, because, you know, there are a lot of children because of the trauma that they're nonverbal.
Yeah, right. That too.
And that is, you know, it's really hard to move forward with the case when, you know, the victim or the, you know, in this case, the child is not speaking. And so the center has told me several times where a child will speak to PEACE, literally talk to them about like what's going on. And, you know, they're able to glean a lot of information from that. So imagine how special that dog is. And then on top of that, I've worked with all sorts of rescue dogs. I've worked with all sorts of working dogs, hunting dogs, sporting dogs. I worked with a lot of the MTA dogs. And I will tell you, and I'm not saying what I'm about to say because we're here. And I've said this so many times, it's always worth repeating. I've never met a more aptly named dog for his position.
Yeah.
And he is really, he's just the best at what he does. You know, it's like you're talking about a person, right? But it's so true. You know, we've seen him in action and seen him around children, and he just has this really calming presence. His behavior is perfect. He's so perfectly situated for that position. I can't imagine, you know, finding a better dog.
Yeah.
So he's been a major asset to the organization. We've been really proud to take care of him. You know, it's always a pleasure. Anytime that he comes into the hospital, it's like, it's an A-list celebrity.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Paparazzi, everything.
Yeah. Someone always wants to take a picture with him, you know, from the staff. He probably gets way too many treats while he's there, you know, kind of like wobbles out of there. And he's just, you know, he just has this amazing, amazing presence. But it's really, as a father, I think it's really comforting to know that there's that level of care when you go to the center, and that children have the ability to be comforted by this animal who is just perfect for it. And, you know, you've met him, you know, we spend a lot of time around. Yeah, he's just a great, great animal. So we feel very honored to be able to even care for him. Right? And that's our goal, is that, you know, whenever he comes in, he gets everything, right? Whether it's blood work and ultrasound, whatever diagnostic he needs, flea and tick prevention, all of his vaccines. You know, we always make sure every year I give him a bad haircut, because every year we give him an abdominal ultrasound, because I just want to make sure that we're checking out everything on the inside just as we are on the outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, our goal is to give him the best possible care. And, you know, our goal is to make him live as long as possible.
Yeah. Give him the best possible care so then he can give the best possible care to 100%. The kids.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. I want to talk about, you know, well, I want to bring it back to Paws and Pores and talk about like more leading into the event. What got you guys going? Megan, I want to start off with you. You were saying how you really never had the event coordinating background, but I want to say that's partially untrue to a degree. You know, you've worked on a lot of different things. And also one of the biggest things about Paws and Pores is the family aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, you know, having grandma and grandpa do the big cookouts where everybody would come from Boston and from all over having all that. And then when they got too old to do it, it was your parents that really carried the torch, who kept doing all the barbecues. And then now what you guys are doing with the Father's Day barbecues, that's kind of essentially the spirit of those cookouts that we used to have. So I want to hear from your perspective, Megan, on like growing up with that sense of family and the importance in prioritizing those cookouts to now bringing that kind of energy to Paws and Pours.
Well, that role model that our grandmother and grandfather played, like how, and my parents as well, the fact that the door was always open, everybody is invited. And even though they were the ones spearheading it, they didn't do it alone. No. You know, all aunts, uncles, everybody was coming with a dish. Everyone was coming, bringing something else to the table, whether it was an activity or a game or someone's watching the kids in the pool because someone else is over by the grill. It is the same. That, I guess, is how I got the experience to be able to do something like this, because we also don't do it alone. We pull in our people. We pull in our family to help us. Nick's dad is the owner of Benmore Winery, and he was very
and I definitely want to get into that in a little bit for sure.
He very graciously allowed us to take over to run this event there, and their financial contribution to the fundraiser is huge every year. They donate a portion of the wine and food that are sold throughout the day back to the center, in addition to the other fundraising things that we have going on there, which is, again, it takes a village to do. And our village is our family as well as our work family. I mentioned before how many of the girls that we work with then come and volunteer their time all day long on Saturday, maybe doing glitter tattoos and temporary tattoos for the kids, or helping my girls collect money and manage their cash box at their bracelet selling stand.
Yep.
I think that it's that whole family dynamic that we then pull into. Family's more than just your blood. Family is the family you create. It's your community. It's your work family. It's your friends. And it's that same love and appreciation for family that made us want to get involved with this organization, and it's that same connection that allows us to do it in the way that we do, because we lean on our community to help us with it.
Absolutely.
And families, you know, for us, there's a reason why we stayed in the Hudson Valley. It's obviously a beautiful place. It's great to raise children, but we're raising our family around the rest of our family. Our children are around their cousins, and they get to see these things. And that's really important to us, because that's the same thing. Our work culture is family driven, right? We're like a family. Sometimes we fight, you know, most of the time we love each other, and that's family. And I think that's important. And that's why the organization is also important too, because it has a major impact on people that we know, people that are here in the Hudson Valley. And the one thing that we all have in common, every single person was once a child, right? And they need protection. You know, they need advocacy. And so, you know, you said it, and this is a great segue. It's just, it's all about family, right? It's all about taking care of each other. And you do not need to be blood related to be family. And you see it when you go to these events, you go to these parties, everybody's welcomed like family, because that's the way that you guys were raised. It's the way that, you know, my family was raised, Speckrellis. And, you know, I think we're kind of spreading that, you know, and that's our goal, is to make sure that whether it's a fundraiser or it's a barbecue, everybody's welcomed and everybody feels like family when they leave.
And you, like you mentioned, we all were very lucky to grow up in those environments. And, you know, not to bring it down, but unfortunately, not every child in our community has that same advantage and benefit. Yeah. And that's why the CPCA is so important, because not only are they helping children who are in those times of crisis, who are victims of abuse, they're also doing a ton of prevention.
Yes.
They are in the schools, they are working with parenting groups, giving parental education so that they can try and break these cycles. So they're not just attacking it from the end. They're doing a ton of prevention also.
That's a huge thing. That's something that we do here with MHA. You know, one of the main things that Andrew always says is like, if it's not directly towards helping like a case that it's ongoing, majority of what we do is preventative care and making sure that we don't get to the crisis. Obviously, we are there for those crisis moments, but we want to do everything that we can to prevent it and give people all the kind of resources that they need ahead of time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big, big things about that. So it's a beautiful thing that the CPCA goes off and does that. And there's plenty of collaborations and ways that we're all supporting each other here. I'm very grateful to be a part of, you know, have a hand in each one of these organizations in my own little way. So it is such a beautiful thing. And continuing on with the family aspect, before we really dive deep into your family, Nick, I'm just curious, how soon was it into your relationship that you brought him to his first Macrillo cookout?
Oh, it was
months.
Yeah. Didn't like, even have a full year.
So we started, we got our first date was on July 7th, 2007. Yeah. 777. So
wait,
it's easy for
July
me to 7th? Remember.
Yeah, my anniversary is July 6th.
Oh,
that's funny.
Good time of year.
Good time of year.
And that's so beginning of July. By, I don't know exactly when the cookout would have been, but he was already there for that first summer. So it would have been like end of July, early August. So within the first like month or two of dating. And I feel like that is important because, you know, for a long-term relationship, not that we knew that that's what it was going to be back then, you need to know all of somebody. And I am a product of my family and my family. I'm very close with my family. They mean the world to me. Anyone that I bring into my life needs to also get along with and enjoy the
and there's
family.
There's a lot of them, and as you know
and
now.
My first son, it comes from a huge Italian family. And I also went to some of your big get-togethers very early on, and it was intimidating. Even coming from a big family myself, it was intimidating trying to remember all the faces and the names and who's an uncle and who's a cousin and all the things. And now it's like, you know, they're my, I view them as my family, no different than a blood relative.
You know? Our first date, I drop her off at her father's, you know, Phil's there.
Yeah.
And Phil's like, you want to come in and watch a movie? And I was like,
I was just about to start a movie. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? This is my first date with this guy. Like, no, he doesn't want to come in and watch a movie with you. Yeah. And Nick goes, yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're probably like, what do I say? Yeah, yeah. It's like, I got to give a good impression here. Yeah. So,
no, but it, you know, there was just so many parallels and similarities between the families. And it was easy. You know, I mean, we both come from, you know, families of four, right? Three siblings each. And
that's true.
Yeah. So, you know, we have that in common. And so, you know, I think.
We're just in reverse.
Yeah.
We're three girls and one boy.
Yeah.
And they're the reverse. So when we came for the wedding, it made really easy pairing people to walk down the aisle with each other.
That is solid. That is solid in that regard. Yeah. That's great.
So family's always been at the epicenter. There's no doubt about it. You know, Meg and I both lived out of the country for a little bit. And, you know, when we came back, we had the opportunity to, you know, go wherever we wanted, you know, Charleston, Florida, San Diego. And we made the choice to stay here, but to raise our family. And it was
because
good,
of the family. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like our passions, our lifestyle is much more geared towards being near the water, being in warm climates, that we forego some of that joy to be around family because we value family.
You're also
that much.
Right on the river. Your house has a beautiful
it's
river.
It's so cold most of the time.
Oh my gosh. I hear you. It's like I would live the Jimmy Buffett lifestyle and go down the Florida Keys in a hot second if I could. But no, I think that's terrific though.
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors.
Mental Health America of Dutchess County and Reviver Entertainment Group present The Sound of Nashville in the Hudson Valley's Queen City. Featuring headliner, Grand Ole Opry member, and CMT Award nominee, Craig Morgan. With supporting acts, two-time Grammy nominee, Maggie Rose. Finalist of Season 19 of The Voice and Hudson Valley native, Ian Flanagan. Viral sensation, Jake Banfield, and special guest, Broadway to country star, Brooke Morabra. The Sound of Nashville, one night only. Tuesday, October 6th at the Bardavon Opera House in Poughkeepsie, New York. Visit bardavon.org for ticket information.
For 60 years, we here at Foam and Wash Car Wash pride ourselves on giving back to the community because we're your neighbors. It's our community too. In celebration of Foam and Wash's 60th anniversary, we want to say thank you. By visiting the link on screen and in the description, you'll receive one free hot wax and shine car wash. No hassles, no gimmicks, just a token of our appreciation. Foam and Wash Car Wash, home of the unlimited wash membership. Thank you for being part of Foam and Wash Car Wash's story for the last 60 years.
This episode is also sponsored by Juniors 2. Come on out to Juniors 2 in Poughkeepsie, New York for Thursday Night Trivia, hosted by CMJW Entertainment. Play as a team as you work your way through four rounds of trivia categories in order to win gift certificates and other prizes. Juniors 2 Trivia Nights, every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. at 1126 Dutchess Turnpike, Poughkeepsie.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show and play.
So, Nick, I want to talk about your family now. Obviously, as you said, coming from your one of four, you have this legacy when it comes to Benmar Winery. Benmar Winery, of course, that's like one of the oldest oldest vineyards in the United States, which is crazy.
The oldest
vineyard. The oldest.
In the United States, yeah, which is really cool.
That's incredible. So here you are, you have a legacy with that, and now you're building your own legacy with the family that you created here with Megan and what you're trying to do with your businesses, with CPCA and whatnot. You know, let's walk through the winery and what that was like growing up with that and having this big family affair there in the vines.
Yeah. So the winery was purchased in 2003 or 2002. So okay. I was in the middle of vet school when that happened. And so we, as an Italian family, we grew up making wine every fall, like many traditional Italian families. And so that was not
in the garage.
Yeah. That was not.
What's wrong with that?
No. And it was, again, going back to family, or this all circles back to family. That was an amazing time every fall for memories. I cannot smell fermenting wine without thinking about those memories. My grandfather, all my aunts and uncles, everybody there. And sometimes it was at our house, sometimes it was at my uncle's house, but you know, we would make 400 or 500 gallons of wine, and then that wine would be distributed throughout the family throughout the year. You know, we did that canning tomatoes. You know, that was just one of the things that we did. And so that was a transition that made sense, you know, when my dad bought that winery.
Yeah.
And yeah, now it's become, you know, it's become a fixture in the Hudson Valley. You know, my brother is the head winemaker. My sister Sarah now manages. So it is very much a family affair. You know, I was kind of like the outlier in terms of, I think I was one of the first, you know, Spaccarellis not to go into, you know, the family construction business.
Mm.
Right. So that's what my dad did before my grandfather did. They were stonemasons. So yeah, and it's become, yeah, a nucleus for our family.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tradition there, but there's also a lot of things that they've brought to the table as well, innovations that they've made. They just built a brand new, beautiful facility that's there for winemaking to bring it to the, you know, the next level. So there's always lots of exciting stuff there, and there's always family functions up there. I mean, never mind what we do, but you know, there's always something happening at Benmar.
Yeah. Well, and at any given time, besides just Matt and Sarah, there's other family members, cousins, aunts who are helping out, working here, working there, behind the food counter, working by the pizza table. Anybody you're talking to there could possibly be a Spaccarelli.
Well, it's interesting because, like, I'm sure just like with your dad, how so many people's first jobs was at your dad's pizzeria. I'm sure a lot of your family's first jobs are through the winery too.
Oh yeah, cousins, and you know, there's a big support staff there. That is like any other thing that is successful. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. You know, my father is often, you know, the patriarch by, you know, sitting next to or working a pizza oven, and he loves that role. But yeah, you know, my brother's very much in the background, you know, making all these amazing award-winning wines. You know, my sister's got a, you know, a headset on her on a walkie-talkie, you know, talking with people. My aunt's back there in the kitchen. And so it's a group effort.
And like on event days, they bring in extra staff for those, and whether it's collecting tickets or doing, you know, tastings in different areas set up on the property. And so that's often when the younger cousins getting that first job, the first taste of it will come in to help do that kind of stuff. I even years ago was doing the same thing, just like for like extra work on the weekends, would help out with the festivals at the check-in desk or just doing different things. And Yeah, so they even wrote the in-laws.
I was going to say, good way of to have the integration.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even think we were married yet at that time.
Oh, no.
And honestly,
no.
I loved it. I really enjoyed those days.
Those
you know, they were long, they were hot, but you had just such good energy, both everybody that you were working with and just like doing anything with your family is always enjoyable. So it was great.
Love that. So, Nick, one thing that you said that I really want to kind of hone in on now, you said you were the first one of your family to kind of step away from the family business and kind of do something different. Obviously, you're still very much collaborating with your family near constantly, but the fact that you were like the first one to do something different and to diverge, was there friction with that at first? Or would you say there was kind of more a seamless and encouraging energy?
I think, you know, I was very lucky, right? I really had an idyllic childhood as far as my parents went and the way that I was raised. And I think that, you know, it was, you know, hard for my parents to see the vision, the long-term vision of, you know, getting an undergraduate degree, going to vet school, working, owning a business, so on and so forth. The one thing I can say with uncertainty is that I always felt supported, always felt supported. And honestly, I couldn't have made it through vet school without that support. It was just so challenging, right? And there were times when I didn't believe in myself where my mother and my father would step in and say, like, you know, maybe in the back of their minds, I can imagine them saying, like, I don't maybe understand this, but I understand the drive and the want, and you need to keep pushing forward. And so I felt very lucky. And I, you know, I think, again, after even I graduated, people were proud of me, but they were kind of, that wasn't a world that they knew about, right? Yeah. Medicine or surgery or those sort of things. So I think it wasn't until a couple of years later, as my career evolved, that people started to see, like, oh, wow, look what he does in the community and look what's happening. And then we became business owners, practice owners. And then, you know, people saw, you know, the sort of influence that we had on the community, what we could do within the community.
I think we also do a lot of things that are a little outside the box, outside the norm, which typically, at least early on, would get some negativity, I would say, from people, like naysayers.
Yeah.
That, like, what are you thinking? You're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And we just always said, okay, and kept going and going, and then we did it. And now we don't get that as much anymore because I guess we proved it enough times that we had a crazy idea that people didn't think we could make happen, and then we did, and then we had a new crazy idea, and then we made that one happen. So now when we give them a crazy idea, that next thing we're going to be doing is whatever, they go along with it much more easily now than they did before.
And we've been able to successfully integrate and to tie almost all of this together, which is impressive in itself, right? Because we have the practices, we have our endeavors that are outside of veterinary medicine. You know, we started this wellness retreat in Costa Rica, and we've got another project that's going on in the Caribbean. And then we've been able to tie that into the CPCA as far as fundraising goes.
Yeah.
And it's just all, it's all kind of come together, I don't want to say organically, but we've been able to tie all that in. And it really,
even with veterinary medicine, we are about to host our first veterinary CE at the wellness retreat that we have in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So again, we're like pulling in everything into one. And then what Nick kind of just touched upon last year, the live auction, I'm sorry, at the gala, we put up, it ended up being 2 weeks, two different trips to our retreat in Costa Rica, which ended up being like the biggest fundraising item that went that day.
Yeah.
So it's cool getting to have something that can then do good. You know, like there's only so much
that
we might be able to financially contribute, but we have other kinds of resources. So whether it be our time as a resource or access to that, you know, property and that experience, we're trying to give back what we can in the different areas that we have.
Oh yeah. And especially giving people that wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity or the accessibility to be able to take advantage of something like that. That's key too.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, there's so many people out there who'd be like that, something like that would be a pipe dream to them. So making that available, like that's big.
Yeah,
that's
100%.
Big. It makes it feel attainable. And when one thing feels attainable, the next thing can feel attainable. Kind of like what you were saying about one crazy idea succeeding after another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People will see it's like, oh wow, it's like, this can be done.
Yeah.
This can be done. And that's like one of the real impressive and inspirational things about it is like the bigger and bigger you get, the more that you can inspire other people. It's like, look what they just did. They're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It's funny what you're saying with your story, Nick, of, you know, you having a lot of support, but then also having people's like, I don't fully understand this, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
And then like not people not sure is like, where's this leading to? It's like, I wouldn't have thought I would have related so much to a veterinary story, but you know, in the music industry and production work, 100%. Where
a lot of hurdles.
A lot of things where it's like, okay, where are you going with this? Yeah. This is cool. This is fun. And all, but like, where are you going with this? And I kept telling people, just like, there's a lot of different routes that this can take me. And here at the moment. And I know this isn't the end, but this is a good spot at the moment.
Well, success isn't a straight path. You have to make new plans along the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't come without falling down face first a lot.
Yeah.
And you know what makes you successful? Getting back up and not giving up. And we say it all the time.
Yeah.
We're not special. The only reason we've been successful in different ways is because we just never give up until we reach the end result.
That's huge.
I remember, speaking of these family parties, I remember going to a party and watching you play the guitar for, you know, maybe the first or second or maybe third time. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, it's really impressive that someone of that age has the confidence to do this. And I also thought to myself, like, there's a bright future there.
I remember you saying this, and that was that first summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just thinking. And you know, and it doesn't, you know, we'd all like to say, like, okay, you know, as a musician, you're going to get this record deal and things are going to be big. But I think at the end of the day, there are different ways to get to where you want to be.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the thing about music, I really take any industry, right? If you want to, you can have an impact someplace else. It's your choice.
Oh, yeah.
It's your choice. And so that's what's been great about all this as well, too, is because every time that we do something, we end up meeting somebody really interesting, really cool, that can have an impact, or it's a better way to network, or they have some sort of valuable asset. I don't mean it in the sense of money, but like, you know, they've got this skill or they've got this this attribute that brings more to whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so it's worked out so well because every year that we do this fundraiser and every year that we're involved with the CPCA, we always end up meeting these really cool people, like really interesting people. And I think that's the beauty about a lot of this is that I love cultivating those relationships, right? That I always say that is what gives me the energy to move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is like perfect example, right? Like for some people, this is very exhausting. This like charges up the battery, right?
Oh yeah,
it's being like excited about like, all right, what's going to be the next thing?
Yeah,
and so I think that's been an exciting byproduct of a lot of this as well too.
Mm-hmm.
I just think of our relationship with CJ, and we were talking about CJ before we got started about how he has this unlimited amount of energy and how he always brings that to whatever he's doing. And so we've been fortunate to meet people like that, Megan,
and they're inspiring. I mean, CJ is a perfect example. Seeing what his involvement was in the community, it sparked us to want to get involved even more, and I hope that we can be inspiring to other people to inspire them to want to get involved the same way that CJ and many others throughout our travels and our life has prompted us to try to do
like,
more.
What a powerhouse.
I know. What
like,
a cool lady.
She's just like being around her. She has
amazing energy.
Yeah. and that's what I'm talking about. Like those are the things that we get to experience that if we weren't involved.
I would never have gotten to meet her and, you know, be able to look at her as the role model that I do if it hadn't been for getting involved with the CPCA. And I'm so thankful for that because she's such a great role model.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
And you know, CJ, again, I gotta credit him to a lot of me being right here.
Yeah,
you know, I met him at the St. Patrick's Day parade, met him again at one of your parties.
Yeah.
That's where we really solidified. Like, I just met him in passing at the parade, but like really got to talk to him at the parties.
Yeah.
We've had you and him on the radio station. I get laid off from the radio station. I decide to create this business. I hit him up to see if he wants to get involved. We have lunch. He gets me introduced to Andrew.
Yeah.
Here we are. And
yeah.
It's just we talked about these domino effects earlier. That's just a perfect example of said domino effect of how that all happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like the people that you're meeting, all the interesting characters that are just leading you along the way to bigger and better things throughout the process. As we're getting towards the end of this interview, I really want to look ahead to the future. We've been talking about the family, the past, the legacy, but I really want to talk about like what people can expect for this year's Pause and Pours. I know we're a few months out, but it's going to be here in no time.
No, it's
so
here.
It will be here. You know, we're recording this in June. That will be in September. Looking forward to being back emceeing and grateful to be a part of it. And we're going to have a lot of fun stuff. But like, what can people expect looking forward into this year?
So we have our bands lined up again, the same bands that were there last year.
Terrific. Much respect to them.
Well, again, just goes community. Our good friend, Brendan Sohan, he's with Circle 65.
Yep.
He kind of takes on coordinating all the bands and bringing them in because
Big
it impact. Is a small community of musicians in the area, and they all get along and support each other. So he reached out to some, and they change a little bit from year to year.
It adds some variety.
Yeah, last year we added the School of Rock, which is really cool because of the aspect of kids performing at an event to help kids. We love that kids helping kids aspect. My girls will be there selling their bracelets again. We'll have lots of some extra sweet treats and options for people to purchase this year. Of course, you're going to have the view and the wine and the food that you always have. Yeah. One big change is we are not going to be doing the silent auction this year. With the auctions that the CPCA does at the gala, which is a huge one, as well as they do one for their golf tournament, it was too much back-to-back-to-back.
It's too much stress on
local businesses. So we're going to be shifting our fundraising efforts to day of attendance and contributions, as well as corporate sponsorships.
Oh, great.
We're going to be hitting the pavement, you know, and really trying to connect with people on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah.
You know, going to different organizations and asking for their support, you know, in exchange for recognition. And that's our goal this year. I think that's more of the model that we're going to go towards. We want something that's a little bit more sustainable. And again, we want to develop closer bonds and relationships with some of these organizations that, yeah, they have a financial impact, but now they can have an impact on an organization like the CPC.
And not overtaxing the community in any one way also, which is kind of why we wanted to do this event, and we wanted to do it at Ben Marl because we were actually trying to tap into a slightly different geographical area. They are very known in, you know, this Poughkeepsie area that we were trying to expand the area that they are known in because they service this area. And we were just blown away by how many people didn't know what the CPCA was. Meanwhile, like, their kids have watched presentations that they have done in the schools, and yet they weren't linking what they are and what they do in our community. So it's not just about the fundraising aspect. It is also about getting the word out about what they're doing. And also, we never want to think that we're going to be in this situation, but whether it's us or a neighbor or a friend, if you find yourself in a situation where there's a child in need, what do you do? Where do you go? Having this information more readily accessible to people, then if they find themselves in that situation, they already know, oh, that fundraiser that we went to the CPCA, like, let me cut. They have the connections. They know where to go. They know that there is an organization to go to.
Know that they exist, and that's such a shame.
Knowing where to turn to in a moment of crisis like that is important, and that's part of why we do these events also. It's not just for the fundraising aspect. It truly is to educate the community and, you know, get the word out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Tying that into something that we're doing with MHA here, you know, we were talking about the 988 challenge prior to this and how, you know, only like 20% of the population knows about 988. Yeah. So trying to get the word out about it. And in regards to that, you know, just trying to help get the word out and the awareness about it, similar to what you said, is like, hey, when we go to this event, it's like, hey, we went to this event, this could help out this organization. Or it's like, oh, I know somebody who worked on this. Or, oh, didn't you at school learn about this? It's like those moments of where two and two connects. You know, we have those moments of like the 988 thing. I've had to use 988 once or twice in my life and be like, oh, yeah, I remember I heard about this 988 thing. Maybe they can help this situation. Yeah. So it's crazy when something like this, whether it's an event and a challenge, whatever it is, spreading the awareness when it actually has a practical reason in your life. And it was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
When it all comes together, it's like, thank God that was there.
Yeah.
So hopefully somebody is watching and listening to this right now. Hopefully, God forbid, that you don't need these resources yourself. But if and when the day comes, just like some superhero out there, because let me tell you, the CPCA are filled with superheroes. Should that day come, you'll be ready for it. You'll be ready for it. Nick, Megan, we're getting towards the end of this. As I said, before we completely wrap up, is there any last little nugget that you guys want to leave with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience, whether about something we already talked about, something that we didn't bring up? I don't know. Any last little nugget that you guys want to leave?
I want to leave off with what I led with, which is just the kindness portion, right? And we had this discussion prior to coming up here, how it's so important that people understand that even a little bit, even bringing a can of food to the food pantry up there, right? Something as simple as $1.50 can of beans. It doesn't matter. You don't have to make massive, you know, financial contributions. Those are great for those out there that have the ability to do that. And we appreciate it. The organization appreciates it. But every little bit helps. And that's what I really want to leave with here, is that I think that aspect is very important. And I think, you know, just to kind of go off what Megan just said, we want people to know what the organization does and how important it is in the community. And everybody needs to spread that word, even if it's just a small snippet of a conversation, just so people know that those resources exist. The building exists here in Poughkeepsie, and the work that everybody does in that building, they're all doing a tremendous job. So
beautiful. Megan, you want to add on?
Yeah, I'm just going to piggyback on that a little bit by saying I hope that many people will come out and support our Pause and Pores for Prevention event. It is going to be a fun, family-friendly event, lots of fun things for the kids. And just like Nick was saying about how you don't need to come and spend a ton of money, but if you were going to be looking for something fun to do with the family outside in the fall anyways, why not come to the winery, have a glass of wine, get something to eat. There's a portion of every single dollar that gets spent that day that's going directly back to the CPCA. Each vendor has their own, you know, contributions that they're going to do in terms of percentage or some things. Every dollar goes straight to the center. So just come and have a good time with your family and know that anything you do spend that day, it is going to help kids in crisis right here in your community.
It's a win-win situation. I mean, it's a beautiful venue. The food is amazing. The drinks are amazing. There's lots of great things for kids to do.
Amazing bands.
Bands are great.
Amazing MC.
That's what I was just about to say. Yeah. So, I mean, we've got the whole package, right? Yeah. So,
and there'll be a lot of fun stuff throughout the day, games and kid friendly activities.
Yeah. Even if you're not coming to drink wine, you know, you think of a winery as, oh, I'm going to drink wine. Mm-hmm. There's so many things to do. And there's, for me, it's such a great day. So, yeah. We just want to make sure that we get the word out, that everybody knows that it's there. And if you've got a choice, make your choice our fundraiser.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll have all the links in the description of this episode for you guys to learn more about it. We'll be having all the links for the CPCA, for their veterinary practices, for the events, everything that you can think of. We'll have it tied together for you guys. Nick, Megan,
awesome. thank you so much, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm Connor.
I'm Megan.
I'm Nick.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Foaman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Kyle Robinson Memorial Foundation, Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape, LLP, Attorneys at Law, and Walsh Valuation. Last but not least, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, those who have generously contributed to the 2026 Walsh Wednesday Fund Drive. It's through your support that Walsh Wednesday can continue to bring quality programming. If you'd like to donate or learn more about becoming a sponsor, please email connor@cmjwentertainment.com. Thank you once again, and for Walsh Wednesday, I'm Connor, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.